Council would like to respectfully acknowledge the local Aboriginal people who are the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which this meeting takes place.
The civic prayer. Almighty God, for whom comes every good and perfect gift, we give you thanks for the blessings you bestow upon us in this shire. Grant to those who hold office in this council the spirit of justice and truth, of wisdom and charity, that mindful of our responsibility and the needs of those we serve, we may promote the true welfare of your people, exercise wisely and faithfully the authority committed to us, and advance the common good through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
There are apologies from councillors Bowditch, Foy and Bounce. Move it by councillor Tiernan, any dissent? I put that all, I suppose, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the contrary, no. The ayes have it, it's paramount. If you're appearing by audio visual link, can I please ask that you turn your device to mute? Or if that can't be arranged, if staff might be kind enough to do that. Otherwise, I fear it might become quite distracting.
But it appears there.
The confirmation of the minutes of last evening. Councillor Woodruff, Councillor Lettland, any dissent? I put it, all those in favour say aye.
Aye.
The contrary, no. The ayes have it, carried. Disclosures of interests.
Yeah, item 8.2, the Dell Power Station closure, community interest, all your votes are right.
Are there any other disclosures? Thank you. That takes us then to public participation. I have, as I understand it, two people in public participation. These both relate to item 8.1, which is the first item in the agenda. What we might do at this point is just ask the Deputy General Manager if he might be kind enough to bring those people into the gallery. While that's taken place, does anyone have any objection to dealing with 8.2, which is the Dell Power Station closure? Well, I might just move then that we deal with 8.2 in the agenda. Sorry, Councillor Leeds, did you have something to say? Yes, I think Councillor Neil is in fact leaving. So is there a second for that, dealing with 8.2 procedurally before 8.1? Councillor Woodruff, is there any dissent? I put it, all those in favour say aye.
Aye.
The contrary, no. The ayes have it, it's carried. I'm happy to move a motion for that recommended. If there be a seconder.
I'll second.
Councillor Scholes, any dissent? I put that, all those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Those, the contrary, no. The ayes have it, it's carried. Would someone be kind enough just to get Councillor Neil back? Thank you. Members of the gallery, please do take a seat if you can find one. I have two people in public participation, the first being Jade Richardson, the second is Rachel Saunders. Both are in opposition to item 10.1, which is the
8.1,
I apologise, which is the DA 219, the construction of the multi-dwelling housing. Can I ask then, firstly, Jade, it's likely that this matter will go over until the June ordinary council meeting. It's entirely a matter for you whether you wish to speak tonight or whether you wish to keep your powder dry, as it were. If it doesn't go over, then I'll certainly make sure that you're called upon tonight. Do you still wish to participate? Yes. Well, you, if you could possibly come to the lectern that's here. You have 5 minutes, although if you indicate that you need a slight extension, you might let me know and we'll move a motion to give you that extension.
My name is Jane Richardson and I live with my family at 12 Coolbar Close. Thank you for the opportunity to address you in relation to this video. Please note that as an employee of the council, I've declared a pecuniary interest and I address council today in private capacity as a homeowner directly impacted by this proposed development. In this address, I'm also representing residents of 4, 6, 7, 8, 10 and 14 Coolbar Close and 16, as well as expressing views that are shared across our community, which is evidenced by the high number of objection letters that were submitted to the council. My partner and I came to Musselbrook 12 and a half years ago, and 4 years ago we decided to make it permanent by purchasing our first home. A lovely home in a reputable location, a perfect place to raise a family. The thought now of having a multi-dwelling development almost literally on our doorstep is utterly disturbing. The amenity of our property is directly and unreasonably impacted by this proposal. In our case, we would have 2, in fact, almost 3 units along our back fence. Just a few metres from our master bedroom, actually. The solution put forward is the conditioning of a 1.8 metre fence along the entire boundary. However, as our house is located to the back of the lot and set into a high retaining wall, this fence will enclose our property significantly, drastically restricting cool airflow into our house and completely blocking all natural light and breeze into our workshed. I've provided photos in my submission and invited council to come and view the issues from our side of the fence. However, no one contacted me or came to view from outside of the fence. The social impact, which is referred to in the business paper on page 71, is a strong concern. And the assessment report conceded that negative impacts are likely. However, confusingly and conveniently, the ultimate conclusion is that there would be positive social outcomes for the council. And this is explained in terms of possible increase to housing supply and affordability, that the design of the development complements the neighbourhood and that it will generate economic benefits such as employment during construction and cleaning maintenance opportunities. Quite simply, all of these points are subjective or speculative. For the unfortunate residents adjoining this development, the private and quiet enjoyment of our properties will be considerably compromised by domestic noise and behaviours, which is inevitable with handling of this density. Think car noise, headlights, garbage trucks, washing machines, dogs, cats, smokers, and having lived in and around units before, I know firsthand the type of antisocial behaviour that can and is likely to occur. Submitters raised that demand for medium density housing was not demonstrated. This is referred to on page 44 of the business paper, and it has still not been demonstrated. The concern has been dismissed with the general statement that there is demand. Currently in the nearby Lock Road Court, otherwise known as Little Bay Route, also known as the Black Hill Villas, there have been 4 townhouses sitting for sale for months. This is actual information of existing medium density housing that demonstrates the opposite of demand. Public interest referred to on page 45, despite the strong objections from the community, the report states that this development is in the public interest and that it is considered unlikely that the development would have significant adverse environmental and social impact. Council has previously refused dual occupancies in this neighbourhood due to, and I quote, not consistent with the nature and character of the existing neighbourhood and will have a negative impact on the existing built environment, social and economic amenity, and the developments are not in the public interest as expressed in submission or objections to the development. Therefore, it is reasonable to expect that 16 densely packed houses are going to have a much more detrimental impact on our community. This development is absolutely intrusive to us existing residents and inappropriate for this location. Developers don't care about the impact on our little community. They really don't. However, maybe our councillors do. Given that this DA has been with council for 2.5 years and the applicant has had plenty of opportunity to make their amendments, I would hope that this council will ensure that an appropriate determination is made at the June council meeting. And it is noted that council will soon go into caretaker mode due to the council elections in September. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Are you happy to answer any questions that councillors may have? Are there any questions that councillors have? I have none. Thank you, James. Mrs. Richardson, I suppose. Rachel Saunders, you also have the opportunity, if you wish to speak. I won't repeat, but you, again, 5 minutes.
Firstly, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak regarding the development application. I'm speaking this evening, not just for myself and my husband and children, and also represent our residents for 4, 6, 7, 8, 10 and 12 Wilbur Post and 16 Butler Road, along with expressing views that are shared by many others in the neighbourhood, going by the objections submitted to council. My husband and I purchased our home near Musselbrook because it is a small, quiet, country town. We chose Coolbar Close to raise our children from the location, their relocation reserve. The majority of the properties are owner-occupied, which can be seen by the prior taking in the presentation of the properties. I'd like to comment on the following sections of the development application assessment report. Firstly, regarding submissions, under section 4.151D report, of the report where submissions are referred to, on page 40 it states 79 submissions were lodged after the first notification and an increased number of 108 submissions were lodged after the re-notification. This demonstrates significant and overwhelming objection to the development by our community. The report states that some of the submissions were made by a pro forma letter. This statement casts unnecessary doubt over the worth of some of the submissions and borders on discrimination. Our council will be aware that not all members of our community are competent, have the competence, literacy skills, or technical skills to comply with injection when one of these jobs. We, the community, have consulted collectively, and these people have not simply signed a petition, they have adopted a letter for themselves and have been able to submit to council. If residents use the pro forma letter, it demonstrates a large number of people who share the same views. My next comment is regarding the visual impact on page 43 of the assessment report. There's much comment from many locals and visitors alike on confronting entrance into Musselbrook. The planning comment in relation to the visual impact is that due to the setback from the highway, the proposed development minimal visual impact. This is dismissive and disregarding of the fact that the subject site is on a particularly prominent hill. The density of housing and the lack of established trees in Eastbrook estate makes for an unsightly entry into Musselbrook, and it's obvious that the closing of what limited nature remains would only make it worse. And finally, in regard to the alternative suggestions on page 43 also, regarding the rezoning of land RA1, particularly extending the pleasure reserve, was a suggestion put forward in submission and one that would be most desirable for council to consider. As we, like many others, believe that we're of the belief that it was already part of the reserve and permits smaller scale subdivisions such as previously approved developments of 79-2006 and 253-2007, which were both in keeping with the existing development. We feel the proposed developments are undesirable and inappropriate, not in the locality public interest, but suitable in this region with an impact on the rural environment. And we feel will have a community impact on the social and economic community of the immediate neighbourhood. In closing, Musselbrook is a country town. Please keep this image. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, are there any questions of Ms. Saunders? Thank you. And thank you both for your public participation. I think that is all that is in public participation for tonight. So that then, I think, takes us to the item 8.1.
I move that the matter be considered at the June ordinary council meeting. Councillor Stiles, is there any dissent? I put that if all those in favour could raise their hand. That's carried, and again, the reason is to allow the council and the applicant to continue the discussions. I have 10.1 as the next item.
Move the action, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Woodruff. Councillor Stiles. Is there any dissent? Any dissent to that motion? Well, I put that, all those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Those the contrary, no. The ayes have it, it's carried. Let me say to those in the gallery and those online that development application has gone over to the June ordinary council meeting to be determined by council on that date. And the reason is to allow the council and the applicant to continue some discussions. You need not feel that you have to stay for the rest of the council meeting. I'm most welcome you to do so if you wish. But if you have other things you'd rather do, we're not at all going to be offended if you go and do them. Because we appreciate that council meetings aren't the most exciting of evening entertainment. I might be in a minority. But anyway, don't feel as though we're in any way be offended if you take the opportunity to leave. And that also, of course, goes for those who coming into the meeting by AV. 11.1.
Which is a major project, just to report.
Let me get my magnifying glass out.
Can I just take a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Scales, Councillor Eads. Is there any dissent?
I've got a question, but I can't find it. I remember reading it with my magnifying glass.
Would you like me to leave that in the agenda for the moment?
I'll pick it up on the operational plan, that's fine.
Is there any dissent? I put that, all those in favour say aye.
Aye.
On the contrary, no, the ayes have it, it's carried. 11.2, Councillor Scott.
Water and wastewater levels of service for the third quarter of 2020-21.
Yeah, Councillor Ward, yeah. Seconding. Councillor Scott's moving. Any dissent? I put that, all those in favour say aye.
Aye.
The contrary, no. The ayes covered, it's carried. 11.3.
To the National Heavy Vehicle Regulator Strategic Local Government Asset Assessment Project.
Is there a mover for that, Councillor Ward, Councillor Lindland? Is there any dissent? I put that, all those in favour say aye.
Aye.
The contrary, no. The ayes have it, it's carried. 11.4.
Yeah, moving.
That report is on sports grounds, parks and recreation facilities sponsorship.
What's the size?
It's been moved It's been moved by Councillor McNeill. I need a seconder if there be one. Councillor Lindland. Did I hear you were in dissent?
Yes, I am in dissent.
Councillor McNeill.
Yeah, I support the recommendation. I think the preempt Councillor Scull's concerns, but I think they can be taken care of in the process of developing the draft plan.
Councillor Lindman.
I don't have anything there to say
to
support the
recommendation.
Councillor
Scott. Yeah, I appreciate Councillor McNeill's that he's confident that my concerns will be addressed in due process. I think the concerns that I've mentioned with regards to the signage potentially disadvantaging the second or third users of a ground, if one uses getting the signage up on a season basis, the siding, the placement, none of that's actually stipulated in the recommendation. So I don't think the control and the management measures for the placement of this signage have been addressed in the recommendation. I would like to see them addressed and the recommendation come back before council get again.
Just so that I can understand that a little better,
Are
you suggesting you're happy with the motion provided that report come back, or are you asking for it to be deferred until that work's done?
I would like to see how we plan to manage it presented to council before we say yes, we're going to do it.
Yeah, so your concern is the first barrier of Rysel?
Yes. I don't confirm, yeah, but just that, that we don't have enough in the report that says how we're actually going to manage.
When, I mean, hasn't the season about to kick off? I mean, we're not back till June.
Pardon?
Isn't the cyber season about to kick off?
No, no, they've been playing 5 games.
Yeah.
Oh, it's already kicked off.
Well, whole season, all sport, winter sports about a third of the way in.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, isn't that a problem then? I mean, we've sort of got to get on with it. Can I ask a question through the general manager of the liaison? Was it?
Matt, could you
address the question? So the council football club did come to us. It is something that we'd like to proceed with straight away. And that would be one of the reasons we need to get in the form of the team.
Well, I'll speak briefly just simply to say I think this is resolving the issue for the moment. I think Councillor McNeill's right, and the plan will resolve in the shorter, the medium to longer term, and I don't see it as a big issue in the scheme of things. There's nothing much to say.
I'm not saying it's a big issue, but I think if we're doing something, we should do it right.
Mr.
Mayor.
Are you not happy with what they're saying in there in the letter on page 101 in regard to signage size? And
yeah, it should be stipulated.
Can I just, because this is being...
Hang on, we'll go back to meeting procedures.
Well, I knew that it is being audio recorded, and I'm just concerned that if people speak over the top of each other, no one will know who's speaking. But Councillor Denton and then Councillor Eads.
From what I can see here, we've got three points to the recommendation. The user group sponsorship on council is constructive and temporary only. The request that sponsorship policies can support the ground to be drafted for council's consideration, so that's really to be done. And approves the calling of expression of interest for the naming sponsorship of major sports grounds. There is really say anything particularly complicated.
Just before I come back to you, and I will even know, Councillor Reeds. Now, before I come back to Councillor McNeill in reply, did you want to say something further?
I don't consider it a particular big issue with regards to my negative thoughts with regards to some of it. But I, using a famous word to someone I know fairly well, I'm not going to die in a ditch over it.
That's actually your referring. Councillor McKinnon.
No, I have confidence in our Sport and Rec manager in consultation with the user groups to resolve the details that are concerning Councillor Scholes.
Unless I've omitted anyone, can I just then commit that all those in favour, that's just the motion of Councillor McNeill, all those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Those the contrary, nay.
No.
I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it as happy. That then takes us to
12.1.
I'm happy to move the motion in the form of that recommended. So, if there'd be a seconder, Councillor Woodruff, is there any dissent?
Yes, you got in just informed, I'm going to move an amendment. I would like to see the committee consist of at least one councillor. So I'll foreshadow a motion to that, to the effect of item 10 in the committee policy, including one councillor on the committee. And the reason for that I think it's merely the expectation, and I think councillors provide a conduit back to the community. It is a very significant part of council. Even if it's just as an observer.
Are you happy for that to be what it is you want to say?
Yeah, fine.
I might just speak briefly and say I wouldn't adopt that amendment. And the reason is because I think it is critical that we have a separation of power. Ultimately, it's only an advisory board. It is a skills-based advisory board. The separation of power is, I think, critical for a whole range of anti-corruption and governance, all sorts of other reasons. But also you want your advice to be fearless and independent as much as possible, particularly when you're managing commercial assets. It is only advisory, and the reason for that is because council do have to, old councillors, all of them, not just one, all of them have their say when it comes back to them, because it is council that makes the decision over every aspect of the future fund. We committed to the Chamber of Commerce when the fund was established that as much as possible it would be independent of councillors, and the reason for that, again, I think is valid from the Chamber of Commerce, and that is that they don't want council to use its local, commercial and holdings in a way that could even be perceived to be in any way anti-competitive. And I think there are good reasons to as much as possible have that separation of power. And I think, in fact, taking your points, the motion that you propose would actually erode that confidence, that transparency, that independence and that consultation. The best consultation is the fulsome consultation that happens when it comes back to council. And having that fearless, independent and skills-based board, I think, is critical going forward. There are problems in that argument at a practical level in terms of filling the various skills. But by and large, it's worked well and will continue to work well. And there is one final point that the separation of power is so important, because it's the councillors who determine future fund policy. And if you put yourself in the position where you become judge, jury and executioner, you do tend to get a bit lazy with the policy drafting and the operational plan, which really manages the key goals. If at every time you can fix it at the bottom of a cliff, never solve the problem at the policy level. And so it is important, I think, that separation of power exists, and that advice comes up, decision made, execution comes back down. The only reason that there are people other than staff, or every other executive function, of course, happens with the councillors making a decision and the staff executing it absolutely independently of the councillors, and the advice coming absolutely independently of the councillors, is because in this particular circumstance, there are some expert advice that we need, which we don't carry as a typical skill set amongst the cohort of staff. And secondly, because some of the obligations we made when we set up the fund to the Chamber of Commerce in preserving some of its independence. Does anyone else wish to be heard prior to me coming back to Councillor McNeil in reply? Oh, sorry, in the ordinary course you wouldn't get a reply, but I will give you one, because I know you went first, so you doubted yourself of a reply otherwise. Councillor Ledlam.
Well, I do have something to say in relation to that, unfortunately, often councillors miss the mark financially in their recommendation, and there is research that says that sometimes their suggestions are the least likely to be successful, and I think that we need to rate decisions, big financial decisions like that, on the fact rather than emotion. I think we often, as hard as we try, you know, we're very attached to the community, and often don't have that skill base that team is going to have and has had previously. They've made fantastic recommendations on the parts which have been usually. And that comes to the Finance Committee. That's recommendation to the Finance Committee, and then they come to council to speak, gone through the comment to get comments, both to make our comments, to go back to the future funding committees. There's a number of checks and balances there. I do think it's a good decision.
Does anyone else wish to be heard? I will come to Councillor. Councillor McNeill, if you want to say further.
Yeah, just in response to Councillor Redmond, the big decisions are made by councillors anyway. The purposes, as outlined in the policy, are all the areas that councillors are expert in, and they're in tune with the community regarding, I guess, value of those particular items. Now, how important they are to the community, I think, is valuable information to the community in steering the recommendations that they may provide. If we're going to achieve these council-orientated goals, who better to advise the committee than a councillor? Now, if the council, if you're worried about the conflicts, the councillor could be a non-voting position, but they're there, they observe, and they're a conduit of information both back to council and also the community.
Just in reply, I won't go on except to say that I think independence does matter. And the second thing I would say is that councillors are very important as the conduit and the people that are ultimately accountable to the community. But of course, as you have pointed out and the policy makes clear, it is councillors that make the decision. But I think it's critical that it's a skills-based independent board that makes these very important commercial decisions in our community, bearing in mind that the work of the Future Fund is for generations not yet even born in some instances. They're making important decisions, not about what councillors might feel today is a gap in what the council is or isn't doing, but this is a fund that is making decisions for people not yet born, and I think, or not yet in the workforce or whatever, and I think all of that just diverts the intention of the fund, which is to set up a financial fund for the future of our community. It's been a fantastic fund. It already has a bigger dividend than the combined farming and business rating, which is an enormously proud legacy for this community and this council. It's the second largest future fund held by a council in Australia. And I think for that good management, it ought to be a skills-based independent board. I'll commit the motion. This is the motion that was moved by me. I put that there. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
No, the contrary, no.
Nay.
The ayes have it. It's carried. I think that then takes us to 12.2.
Yep.
Councillor Scholes. Yes. Councillor Reeds. Any dissent? I put that. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
The contrary, nay.
I just mentioned that report was the internal reporting in public interest disclosure policy.
The ayes have it. It's carried. 12.3. Councillor McNeill had a question, but I've just taken a mover and a seconder.
Just the operation of coming quarterly report.
Councillor Woodrow, Councillor Leeds, Councillor McNeill.
It was the EFTEC project. Just wondering if you could give a report on what's the impediment of the progression of the EFTEC biorefinery pilot project.
I don't know what you mean by impediment, except to say that ARENA have only this morning issued an amended funding deed, that the project is progressing with full speed, and it's on schedule to be constructed by the end of the year. It will be a magnificent facility, $30 million shared access Hunter pilot biorefinery, which will really advance the bioeconomy in this community. Although a lot is said about renewable electricity and electricity in the carbonisation debate, liquid fuels are equally as important. It's another 40% of the overall decarbonisation issue. And bioethanol potentially, along with hydrogen, will be a large part of that. This is the only shared access via refinery in Australia. I'm absolutely proud that it's in this community. It is a fantastic research institute that will employ 20 scientists and is part of our plan not only to become the centre of biofuels, but also the centre of education in the Upper Hunter. And again, I think this is a great investment. I know that others don't agree, including you, Councillor McNeill, but I think, frankly, it is one of the most proudest things that I've done on this council. Is there anyone who wishes to debate or say anything further before I commit the motion?
I was just curious, if you don't mind me just referring back to the question. I can't find the document, but it's got a red dot on it, so it's not progressing. So I'm just trying to understand why it's not progressing.
Look, I don't understand that, except that I suspect it relates to the fact that council has nothing further to do with it.
Council has nothing more to do with it. If you read the comment associated with it, that's what it says.
And this would not have occurred without council's involvement, but mercifully our involvement is now complete, and it's now in the happy position of this morning receiving a draft ARENA amended funding agreement. Once that's signed, then the research component will commence, bearing in mind that the first part of the research component is at the University of Newcastle. The pilot biorefinery, as I said, think I said earlier, will be constructed around the end of the calendar year. And obviously the EthTech research project will then relocate to that facility. But it is a shared access pilot biorefinery. And as I understand it, there are three other research projects that will also be relocated from various parts of Australia into that research facility once constructed. Are there any further questions before I commit the motion?
It comes under our developed community thing, one of the things we're going to develop, doesn't it?
I think what you're referring to is that the UHEDC's operational plan has a small part to play in that. It has some involvement in the management of the facility itself.
Something
that we've
actually set up and
make
sure that it goes
ahead
and
so that
it's
still
giving council
that
we've
done Council reviewed the biota study status due to a number of factors. There is limited potential for progressing additional projects. Ethanol, and you should be that being given to this council. So it's been it's recommended here that the it should be added to the agenda of the next council strategic weekend.
Okay. Can you take me to that page?
Page one, please. Yeah.
And just the action number. I'll answer the question, but if you can just take me to the action number of it as well.
1.1.2 in the first one under the pie chart.
Just pardon me a moment, Philip.
Yeah, we have a counter on page 133 under 2.1.4.
That's not the EthTech.
That's
a pilot biorefinery.
Advanced projects initiatives identified as other bioeconomy industry studies.
Yeah.
So it's not EthTech specifically, it's the industry.
Ethanol study.
Bioethanol study. Council reviewed it and at the moment, due to a number of facts, there's progressing additional projects.
Can I answer it? Just say, I suspect I have the answer. If it's compared to the 1.12 does not refer to the shared access biorefinery at all. That refers to a strategic plan that was commissioned by the General Fund's economic development team. And this was co-funded by the state government and Hunter Councils and Musselwhite Council and Singleton Council. Between them were the last third of that, I think. I may be slightly wrong on the breakup, but it was a state government commissioned study of the Hunter bioethanol industry. So when it says that it's not being pursued, it's that there's no further funding for the second stage of that particular study's actions.
But 1.1.2 has absolutely nothing to do with the Hunter Pilot Bar Refinery. Councillor Woodruff is right. 2.1.4 does, and the answer there is correct. It is progressing, and as I say, is progressing at full speed, mercifully.
So that's the work we see going on at Calamere Road now.
Two aspects, the built work and then the intellectual property work, the research work, right, are both progressing. The research work requires the arena funding. The pilot bar refinery is state funding. The state funding is secured and the pilot bar refinery is in full construction, and that will be completed, as I say, by the end of the calendar year. The research aspect is federally funded through the Australian Renewable Energy Agency. That has not yet been released. And the reason for that is because the amended funding agreement had to be negotiated. That's now been negotiated, as I understand it, and the draft of that instrument has arrived with the principal researcher, the first researcher, which is FTEC. But bear in mind that the facility is a shared access research facility. There will be other researchers that make use of it. So I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, that's right.
But if it has been red dotted, that's not in relation to the FTEC project or the pilot refinery. That's everything to do with the broader state government study work. Does that answer that question before I commit the motion on the operation? Thank you. I think that's been moved and seconded. I put that then. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
The contrary nay. No, it's carried. 12.4.
March budget review.
Councillor Flinton. Councillor Scholes. Is there any dissent? I put that. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Those the contrary nay. The ayes have it carried. 12.5.
So report on council's grant funding for May.
Councillor Midland, Councillor Neil, is there any dissent? I put that. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
The contrary nay. The ayes have it carried. 12.6.
It's the April monthly financial report.
Councillor Midland, Councillor Ward. Is there any dissent? I put that. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
The contrary nay. The ayes have it carried. 12.8.
12.7.
Oh, I do apologise.
Report on investment.
Just
like Peter. Yeah,
I'd like to. Councillor Ledland, Councillor Reeds, and I might just make the comment that, again, that's the largest amount of financial investment assets I think the council's ever approved on behalf of the community. I put that. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. The ayes have it carried.
12.8.
Community
services report.
Councillor Eads, Councillor Ward, I think that was seconding it. Is there any dissent? I put that. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
The contrary, no. The ayes have it carried. 13.1.
Just the Financial Review and Advisory Committee. We have a series of these reports.
So I'll do them singly, but Councillor Nedland, Councillor, can I take it? You're happy to move in second
yes,
each?
Yes.
I'll put them in succession. 13.1 first. I put the motion in the form that recommended by the staff and moved and seconded. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Contrary nay. The ayes have it carried. 13.2 in similar form. I put. Is there any dissent?
There is 13.2 in this document.
Yes, there is.
Oh, yes, in the report for the 23rd of April.
It's three in a row, is it?
Yeah.
I have it on mine.
Oh, sorry. There's probably a little bit on
the document. I've just tear it and make sure it's the same.
Yeah, with
there is a timer.
Yeah, with the timer.
I can just think I'm just seeing this version of 13.2 is being missed. It's listed as 13.3, and then 13.4 becomes 13.5. So something has happened there. But if you're prepared to accept that 13.2 is in fact 13.3, can I put that then with the same mover and seconder?
Yes.
All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The ayes have it. It's carried. 13.3.
I put that. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Contrary, no. The ayes have it. It's carried. 13.4. There's been no dissent. I put that. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Contrary, no. The ayes have it. It's carried. 14.
Notices of motion.
As I understand, there are none. As there is a question with, well, came to us as a question with notice, but if you're prepared to accept it, Councillor McNeill, I'll accept it as a question without notice, only because of the timing, but it'll still be dealt with in that section. So I have no other questions.
We do have a question
with
notice from Councillor Bowditch. Which I will read.
And I also, that came to us also this afternoon. If it's all right, I'll take that as a question without notice. But I suspect it will have the same outcome, which is we'll deal with it as a question without notice. So before I come to questions without notice, councillor reports, if there be any.
Have we missed item 15.1?
Probably. That's just what we've gone through. There were no questions with notice, but there were questions.
That was with questions with notice from last week. So
I see.
Now put that in as a question with notice.
And you are right.
Yes.
So that just simply needs to be noted if you're happy to note the response. I noticed that you've asked some supplementary questions.
Yeah, because I think that the answer highlights the point of confusion in that the Councillor Reynolds and myself were always aware that authority was given to the General Manager to provide a submission to the DPIE, but not to the...
It's not really an opportunity to... This is a question. If you want a report prepared or you want a bit of a motion to talk to, this is just simply the staff's response. Yeah. So the choice is really to note it or not.
Well, I'm just trying to highlight, I think it would stop the problem because the response, staff's response, explains why the confusion exists.
I'm not sure I agree, but it's now's not the time to debate it. It's simply a case of just noting the report or not. You've asked a supplementary, which I think will further clarify.
Yeah, it will, yes.
So is... can I have a mover and a seconder just for the notation? Typically, it would be the councillor that asks the question. If you're having to note the response,
yes.
Provided by staff, yes. Is there a seconder for that?
Awesome.
Councillor Ledlin, any dissent? I put that. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Let's have it carried. Councillor reports. Can I just have an indication? If you could just raise a hand if you have one, so I can do this. Thank you. I think that is none. I might just simply say this for the record, that on my reckoning during the by-election, the council received around $105 million of government commitments, which I'm very, very pleased about. Not that I'm advocating for constant by-elections, but...
$100 million bucks a pop, we should be.
But certainly it's been a great outcome for the community. And I want to thank the general manager and the Toms and the other policy staff who put together the advocacy arrangements for all of that. I'm very proud that our council did particularly well with that, pointing on how well others did. But I'm certainly very pleased that we did very busy. Now, that takes us to questions without notice, which often we have two. If we can just deal firstly with Councillor Bowditch's, I have received that, I've put it in the papers, and the response will be furnished to Councillor Bowditch at the June Ordinary Council meeting?
Yes.
Now,
what's that question?
The question is there a reason why garbage is not collected for approximately 11 residences between the bridges at Sandy Hollow and Gungor, given the garbage truck travels to the Gungor rest stop to collect garbage bins located at that rest stop? There is I suspect, a fairly easy answer to that, and that is that
not in the scavenger.
It's not in. Well, and also the truck that does that run is in fact an Upper Hunter one, but Dungle's in Upper Huntershire, but
that's not on behalf of RMS.
But we may be wrong, and there may be some other ways that we can deal with that given it.
Sorry?
Well, the scavenger is right along. So generally what happens is we, or in the past anyway, we canvass the community. Up at Coles Extension, and the majority of the community is happy, we increase the scavenging, provide the bins and service starts.
Yeah,
There may be some options that start, given that it's a common contractor, we may be able to make some or consider some arrangements. Now, the second question, again, is provided by a series, I think, of three or four questions are provided by Councillor McNeill, and the General Manager has already responded earlier today, indicating she'll have a response by the June Board of Council meeting. Are there any other questions without notice?
Would you like me to read them so we don't, in case there's any clarification required?
No. I think we've got them and we'll be taken on notice and they will be replicated in the business paper and the responses provided for each one. Are there any other questions without notice? That then takes us to a motion to adjourn to consider the tender.
Sorry, Councillor?
Yes, Councillor McNeill, Councillor Ledland, any dissent? I put that all those in favour, say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. The ayes have it, it's carried.